weekly podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
Good morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can come together here, Lord, with our open hearts and clearing our minds, Lord, that we could worship you and praise you and glorify your name. Heavenly Father, I ask for your blessing upon each and every one of us here today. And Lord, and your blessing upon those who aren't able to be with us, Lord, whether they are traveling or they are ill. Lord, please keep them safe and heal them. Heavenly Father, I ask for your blessing upon the sermon we hear today, that we could bring somebody closer to your Son, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, and it's his precious name we pray. Amen. Do you ever find it difficult to set aside the time to examine your life? To ask yourself, what sins have I committed recently? Take the time to examine our conscience, the actions of the past weeks or months. 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. Each day, we should set this special time aside for self-examination and asking forgiveness. In this way, we are preparing for the Lord's Day and the Lord's Supper every day, not just in a few minutes before the emblems are served. We might ask ourselves these questions. How have I employed my thoughts? Has God been in my thoughts? Has he been in many of them? How have I governed my passions? Have they been kept under the dominion of the Holy Spirit? How have I preserved my purity? Have I tried to keep my heart pure and clean? Are the choices that I make in life pleasing to God? After asking ourselves these questions, we should answer them honestly and sincerely from the heart. If we can't answer these questions in a positive way, then perhaps we can now, at this moment, repent and recall, he died for one such as I. One final question. Am I partaking of the bread and the fruit of the vine in a worthy manner? Shall we pray? Dear God, our Father in heaven, we come before you at this time, seeking your forgiveness and your wisdom and your amazing grace through accepting your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. Heavenly Father, we know that as we accept the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and being baptized for the remission of our sin, we will spend eternity with you. Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing upon these emblems, the bread and the juice that represent the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for giving us your Son as a sacrifice and expressing your love for us. In Christ's name, amen.
Good morning, folks. Please do look at your bulletins this morning. We have a number of announcements there. I hope you'll notice. I'm not going to read all of them, but do want to call your attention to a couple. We collect we're bell ringers for Salvation Army down at Sparkle. The last Friday after Thanksgiving, first Friday after Thanksgiving, and then a few Fridays in December, and we need some people to sign up and help. I think we need 5 spots filled yet, and they're 2-hour spots. So if you'd like to get on, ring the bell and smile. We're the church that takes care of that money in town. We are the church that gives that money out. So it gives us an opportunity to witness, and we like that opportunity. So if you could be a bell ringer for a couple hours, have grandchildren or kids who would like to go down with you, they enjoy doing that. And the kids always bring more money in if they ring the bells. So if you have the kids or grandchildren, take them all down. All the money collected down there goes to East Palestine. So all that money stays in town here and helps people in town. Thanksgiving dinner coming up. If you haven't signed the list to plan to attend that, sign the list. Let us know you're coming. We just need that as we set up the different tables. But there are a number of other lists. We still need someone to donate and cook a turkey. And I think we still need 2 hams donated and cooked, if you could look at the list there. And there are some areas where we need people to help as far as getting ready and cleaning up. If you've signed the list, that helps us to know ahead of time people are going to be here to do that. And also, when you sign up, we need you to sign up what you plan to bring, because we don't want everybody bringing mashed potatoes or everybody bringing dessert. So there's some different lists there you can sign to bring what you would like. And if you would do that, we'd greatly appreciate it. Christmas tree is coming along. We still have a lot of work to do on it. The lighting is really going to be neat. Maybe one Sunday before Christmas, we'll be able to share that with you just for a moment to get you a little excited about it. But only five practices left till the Living Christmas Tree performance. And there are some people who have signed up who haven't been to a practice yet. And we know they're practicing at home, but we really need you, if you signed up, to be at practices, these next five practices, so the choir can hear what they sound like together, and we'll be getting up in a tree sooner or later and practicing. So if you signed up, please do your best to be here for practice. Please look over the prayer list in your bulletin and remember those people in your prayers, if you would. Let's take a moment and go to God in silent prayer. Amen. I was up at Salem Hospital a few months ago visiting a man before he went into surgery, and that was early in the morning, and I had a prayer with him, and he was taken by 6:30 to go into surgery, so I left and I headed home, and as I headed home, I saw Dunkin' Donuts, and I thought, well, they're there early, they probably need somebody to go in there and keep them busy, so I decided to go ahead in and make an order, and I went up to the intercom, and there was a sign that said, intercom not working, please go to the first window. So I did. And there's a lady standing there that looks like she's asleep. I mean, she hardly looks awake. And I tell her what I want. I said, I'll have one medium black coffee, please, decaf. Well, you know, if I'm at Dunkin' Donuts, I can't stop with a black coffee. So, and two chocolate cake donuts. Well, she didn't say anything. She just looked at me. It's like she's asleep. Of course, it is early in the morning, but she's like she's asleep. So I say it again. I would like two chocolate cake donuts and a black coffee decaf, medium. And she mumbles something to me. Just like, I'm thinking, where's the manager? Does this lady not want to be here? Does she know I'm not supposed to have donuts? I mean, why is she not paying attention to me? What's going on here? So I decide to use hand motions, and I motion to her, one medium cup of black coffee, decaf, two chocolate cake donuts. And she again gives me this weird look and mumbles something to me. It's like she's too tired to talk. So I decide I'm going to have to really get her attention. So I unbuckle my seatbelt, and I decide I'm going to stick my head out the window, get as close to her as I can, and tell her my order is. So I unbuckle the seatbelt, and I stick my head out the window, and smack my head right off the glass. I had forgotten to roll down the window. My glasses go flying. Almost knock myself out, to tell the truth. And the lady's laughing hysterically. So it takes me a second, but I'm going to get my donuts. So wind down the window, and I say, I would like a medium cup of black coffee decaf and two chocolate cake donuts. She's still kind of laughing, and she says, but I'm sorry, we had a problem with our delivery this morning. We don't have any cake donuts. So she says, but we have glazed. But I don't want glazed donuts. So after all that, all I got was a medium cup of black decaf coffee. And I tell you that to tell you this. Things don't always go the way we want them to. Things don't always go the way we expect them to. Sometimes in this world, even we as Christians face troubles, unexpected problems, difficulties, and suffering. And we're going to look at Romans chapter 8 this morning just a little bit. And there Paul tells us how to handle our difficult times. So in Romans 8, verse 18, Paul begins by saying this. Let's see if we can get that up there. This doesn't seem, yeah. I consider that our present sufferings. Now let's just stop there for a second. What Paul does here is give us a general description of something that is very personal. He says present sufferings. That's very generic. Those reading the letter, more likely those in the church at that time listening as this letter was read to the congregation, they could all attach something very personal to this phrase, present sufferings. And of course, we can do the same thing. What kind of present suffering are you facing? I think it's important that we make this present suffering here personal. Paul makes it generic on purpose so we can make it personal. He cannot begin to list all the different suffering that these people were facing. So he kind of made it generic so we could fill in the blank. So what would you put there for present sufferings? What are you going through? Would it be some type of health-related thing? Maybe for you, maybe for a friend or a family member. Maybe your present suffering is a financial nature. Maybe your present suffering is relational. Maybe you're sitting next to your present suffering. I don't know. But go ahead and fill in that blank and make it specific. Who or what is your present suffering? Now, Paul uses this general term so we can make it personal. Because everywhere we look, we see present sufferings. You walk your dog through the neighborhood and you hear yelling coming from the house, and it's a husband and wife, and they're screaming at each other and fighting. You walk past another house and you see a foreclosure notice on the door. Or maybe it's at the grocery store and there's a young woman, a single mom with a little four-year-old girl, and she barely makes ends meet, and she's done her shopping and she's picked up bread and milk and peanut butter and jelly and cereal, and she's getting ready to check out. And her little daughter says, "Mommy, can I have a pack of gum?" That's all she's asking for, is a little pack of gum. And her mother says, "No." "Mommy, just one pack of gum. Can I have a pack?" "No." "Why, Mommy? Why can't I have a pack of gum?" "Because we can't afford it." She can't afford a pack of gum. And all her items are on the conveyor belt. And as they go through and the lady rings it up, she can't afford it. It's more than she can afford. But she needs it all. The cereal and milk are for breakfast that week. The bread and the jelly and the peanut butter for lunch that week. She needs the diapers. She needs it all. But she can't afford it. That makes suffering personal, doesn't it? When it happens like that. Or maybe our present suffering has to do with a friend or a family member who is struggling with their child, maybe with drug abuse. Maybe it's a friend or a coworker who's struggling with depression. Maybe it's dealing with the grief of a family member who just recently passed away. But here's the deal. Present sufferings. We all have them. It's important to see that in the scripture. Because you'll hear preachers on television, even commercials, suggest to you that if you're a Christian, you shouldn't have present sufferings. If you're a Christian, everything's going to be fine for you. In fact, the commercial's been on recently. Have you seen it for spring water? You get it for free, and you get it, and then they have the commercial. "I got my spring water from this ministry, and I got an $80,000 check in the mail. I got a $20,000 check in the mail." And there are people who teach that. If you're a Christian, it's all about prosperity and health in this world. And you know that's not true. You can look at the life of Jesus. You can look at the life of the apostles. That's simply not true. We have sufferings in this world. The Bible never anywhere teaches that we as Christians will only face good things in this world. There are going to be challenges. There's going to be suffering that we have to deal with and that we face. And when those sufferings come, they reveal the foundation upon which we are built. Storms do that. They reveal our foundation. They reveal what we have put our hope in. So Paul talks to us about present sufferings, and then he challenges us as Christians to remember that our hope is not in the temporary things of this world, but our hope is in heaven. So look at verse 18. I'm going to need you to change that, Bridget, verse 18 here. "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope. That creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. Now here's what Paul's saying. He's saying, here's what I want you to do. You've got these present sufferings, and you have to identify them. They're in the front of your mind. And you know what your present suffering is. I want you to compare that present suffering, he says, with the glory that's going to be revealed in heaven. I want you to compare what you're going through right now with what one day you're going to receive in heaven. That's what he wants the Romans to do. That's what he wants us to do. So let's do it. Think about something that you're going through right now. Whatever your present suffering is. And then compare that to what it's going to be like in heaven. That's something for us to think about, something for us to do. What is your present suffering, and how's that change when you get to heaven? And get this, Paul says this. He says, it's not worth comparing. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. It's not even worth comparing. Imagine it's the second day of January, 2023. We're going to talk about January 2nd because January 1st falls on the first day of the week. It falls on a Sunday. And you know that in advance. So I hope that you plan on being here with us as we meet around the Lord's table and worship God on the first day of 2023. So we're going to think about the second day of 2023. And on that day, you have to go to the dentist to get a root canal, something that you really enjoy doing. So you go to the dentist, he starts this root canal. Halfway through the root canal, the anesthetic wears off for whatever reason. He gives you another shot, it doesn't take. And you got halfway through this root canal, you're in tremendous pain. And what he does is he says, I'm going to send you home, we're going to work on this later. So he sends you home in all this pain. And as you're driving home, because of the pain, you're in an accident. You're okay, but you total your car. And then you recognize the car that you hit. It's your teenage son's car. He's okay, but you've also totaled his car. So you call a friend and you get home, and it's been a bad day. You've had this tooth problem, and now you've wrecked your cars. You've totaled them both. You get home, and you look at your front door, and there's a foreclosure notice on your front door. And just then you get a text from your boss, and your boss says, our company's been purchased. Don't come to work tomorrow. You don't have a job. Man, that's a pretty bad day, isn't it? Second day of 2023. And just then you get a phone call and you hate to pick it up because everything's been so bad. But you answer the phone and it's a lawyer. And he tells you that your uncle has passed away. You know your uncle. You're not real close to him, but he's passed away. And he has left you $43 million. So what do? You go out now and you buy a new car for yourself and you let your teenage boy pick out whatever car he wants. You don't care that this old house is foreclosed because you go buy a new house. And then you have to have a job because you lost your job. So you start this medical company and it just brings in the money hand and foot. And before you know it, you're extremely rich. And you see there's a Tahitian island that comes up for sale and you buy it. And you build your dream house on that Tahitian island. Well, now it's the last day of 2023, and you meet a friend on the road that you haven't seen in a long time. And he says, hey, I haven't seen you in forever. And I remember back at the beginning of the year, you put on Facebook this terrible day that you had. How are things going? He thinks, well, things are going great right now. I mean, would you like to come to Tahiti and visit me there? Things are going great right now. And you say, well, do you remember what happened on that day? This guy's friend says, do you remember how bad things were? And he says, well, now that you mentioned it, I kind of remember what happened on that day, but it's not worth comparing to what happened on the rest of the year. And that's what Paul's telling us here. What we face here, our present suffering, is for such a short time. It's bad. It can be bad, but it's not worth comparing to the glory that's going to be ours. That's not saying that life is going to be easy here. Suppose you live here 99 years, and every day you're in chronic pain for those 99 years. But when you die, you're in heaven. You've been in heaven now for millions of years. And you meet a friend up in heaven, and he says, hey, remember when you were on earth? Remember the pain you were in? And you think, yeah, I remember that pain I was in, but that was such a long time ago. And it was such a short period of time. And in heaven, there's no more pain and no more tears and no more sorrow. I'll tell you what, it's not even worth thinking about. And that's what Paul's saying to us here. Our present sufferings are not even worth comparing to what we're going to have one day in heaven. Teresa of Avila experienced tremendous loss in her life. At the age of 14, she lost her mother. And then she endured illness for the rest of her life, this chronic illness and pain. And towards the end of her life, she summed everything up like this. She said this, in light of heaven, the worst sufferings on this earth will be seen to be no more serious than one night in an inconvenient motel. Now, when I first thought about that, I thought, what? But then when you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. Imagine that you're on your way to Florida for a two-week vacation. You have a friend who lives in Florida, and he's letting you use his house. Well, it's really a mansion on the beach. And you get to spend 2 weeks. You have to pay a cent. He's your friend, 2 weeks in his mansion on the beach. And he says, listen, my refrigerator's filled, my cupboards are filled, my freezer is filled. You don't have to buy food when you're down there. Just eat whatever you want. And not only that, you don't have to cook your food. I have a cook. The cook will make your food. I have a maid. The maid will make your beds. You don't have to clean up. You don't have to cook. I have a servant who will take out your food to you, to the beach if you want it. All you need to do is go down to Florida and enjoy yourself at my multi-million-dollar beach house. So you're excited. You get the family in the car and you head down there. It's going to take 2 days. You're going to stop one day at a motel. The next day you're going to be there. So you're on your way down, and you don't think ahead of time because all you're doing is thinking about this mansion you're going to be in, this dream house. And you forget to make reservations for a motel. So you it's late at night. You try to stop, and there's no vacancy. All the motels are filled. And finally, at 11 o'clock at night, you find a room. And you go into this motel, and the motel's nothing great. You walk down the hallway to your room, and the carpet is dirty, and it's wrinkled. You get to your room, and there's a hole in the door. That's not a good sign. You get in there, and the bathroom's dirty, and there's this weird smell. You don't know what it is, but it's a weird smell. You try to turn on the television, and it doesn't work right. So there are two beds, and you say to the kids, don't pull down the bedspread. Don't pull it down. Just leave it alone. Don't get undressed. Don't open the suitcases. It's late at night, just lay on top of the bedspread and go to sleep. And you lay down on your bed and a smile comes across your face. Because you know you're only going to be there for a few more hours. And then you're going to head to Florida and you're going to be in this mansion at the beach having the time of your life. Paul wrote to the Colossians, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Our hope is not based on what we have here. Our hope is based on what we get there. Now, we are to live for God here on earth. We're to make a difference in what we do here on earth, but our hope is based in heaven. So Paul says, we need the next slide. Paul says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies, for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait patiently. So Paul's using a metaphor here to teach us how to deal with the present as we wait expectantly for the future, as we wait for heaven, as we deal with our present sufferings. And that metaphor is the pain of childbirth. He says, look, suffering is a lot like the pain of childbirth. Now, I really don't have a lot of experience in this, but I've read the two very painful things that can happen to you. Some say they are the most painful. I doubt that's the case. But the two most painful things, they say, are childbirth, the pain of childbirth, and the pain of passing a kidney stone. Now, I've never had a kidney stone, and I've never given childbirth. Although, according to some people today, men can give birth to children. You've heard that, haven't you? That's a whole other sermon. I'm not going to get into that. But anyhow, I've never done either one, of course. But it is possible for someone to go through the pain of childbirth. And after going through that pain, they bring the baby in, and the mother holds that baby in her arms, and she says to her husband, let's do it again because of the baby. But you will never hear someone who passes a kidney stone say, may God bless me with another. You're never going to hear that. Why the difference? Why does one say, let's do it again, and the other say, I hope I never go through this again? The pain for both is very intense, but of course the outcome is very different. One leads to a baby, the other leads to a kidney stone. And so they process their suffering. They process their pain differently. And that's what Paul's talking about here. In this world, we're going to face suffering. And that present suffering may be different for all of us. But the suffering in this world is not like the pain of a kidney stone, but it's like the pain that you experience in childbirth. The pain's only for a short time, and it's leading to something very beautiful. It's leading to something very good. Now, in this section of Romans here, there are two key words. One key word is hope. We see that word used 6 times in 8 verses. And the second key word is wait. We see that word used in verse 19 and 23 and 25. Look at verse 19. All creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Now, the next time we see the word wait, it helps us understand what it means for the children of God to be revealed. And the idea here in the Greek is that we, as we wait with this eager expectation, it's like that we are stretching our necks. We are leaning forward. We're trying to see what's coming. Verse 23 says, we wait for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies, for in this hope we were saved. What are we waiting for? We are waiting for the redemption of our bodies. We are eagerly straining our necks. We are standing on our tiptoes. We are waiting for these new, transformed, imperishable bodies that we get when Jesus comes again. This is the hope for which we were saved. The blind will see. The lame will walk. The deaf will hear. The mute will speak. And verse 25 says, but if we hope for what we do not yet have, again, we wait patiently. Every year, there are a number of people in Ohio who leave and go south. They go to Florida. They go to South Carolina or North Carolina. Some people go west. They go to Arizona to get out of the cold, to the snow, to get someplace where it's sunny and nice. But a lot of those people will not leave until after Christmas. They want to stay up here and be with their family for Christmas. So they experience some cold. They experience maybe some snow. But they experience it with a smile on their face because they have the day marked on their calendar when they're leaving this snow and cold and going to Florida or going to Arizona where it's going to be warm. So they look forward to that, even in the snow. They look forward to what's going to come with eager anticipation. And folks, I hope you have heaven marked symbolically on your calendar because it's coming. It's coming for you. And even in the face of your present sufferings, you can have a smile on your face. as you wait with eager anticipation for the hope that you have in Christ Jesus. If you're here this morning as a Christian, you have that hope, and it gives you the strength you need as you face whatever present suffering you face. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you don't have that hope. What you face here is just a portion of what you're going to get, and it's not good. But you can have that hope of heaven through Jesus Christ. The Bible says to be a Christian, we need to have faith that leads us to accept the God who loves us through faith and repentance of our sins and being baptized into him. So we have our tree up, but we still have our baptistry. So if you're here this morning and you need to make a decision for Christ and you need to be born again of water and spirit, you just let us know and we'll get you baptized this week so you can look forward with eager anticipation to what's coming for you. If you need to make that decision, if you come forward, we can take your confession today and we can work out the time when you're going to be baptized. Let's stand and sing together.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to join us in person, we meet on Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m. and on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Have a great week.